Blog Talk Radio.
You have tuned in to Home, Helen R. Ministry of Empowerment. Welcome home. I am so glad that you joined me on today. Truly, this is the day that the Lord shall make, have made, and we shall rejoice and be glad therein. I am so excited for all of my partners and friends around the world on today. They're in the Philippines, in Nigeria, and in Indonesia, and all around the world, and here in the United States. I'm excited about you. Yes, you. I am so glad that you joined me on today, and I want to hear from you. Please, at one time when you can, just send me an email to let me know if this has been a blessing unto you. Truly, God is great and greatly to be praised. On today, we have another glorious lesson to come to share with you on today. Our lesson on today is Born in Zion. So we're going to be talking about being born in Zion. Our focus thought is the greatest privilege in this world is to be born in Zion, the church of the living God. So I know we have a glorious time and plan for you on today as you listen on today and have the ear to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying unto you individually, because I believe that there will be rhema words that will be spoken into your heart on today. Not only that, but God will just overtake you and bless you in a mighty and a special way as you're willing to receive and eat from the Master's table on today. Gracious Father, we thank you for your goodness, your mercy, and your grace. We take this time to bind the forces of darkness and decree right now in the name of Jesus your blessing over this airway through my tongue, Lord, and the vocal cords, that it will bring glory and honor unto you. You speak a word to your people, and Father, we'll praise your blessed name and give you the glory and honor in Jesus' name. We pray, amen, amen. Again, we say we thank God for his goodness on today. So I'm going to invite you to go with me over to Psalms 87. This is where we will find our scripture text coming from on today. In Psalm 87, it reads on this line, as we can read it all together. It says, his foundation is in the holy mountains. The Lord loveth the gates of Zion more than all the dwellings of Jacob. Glorious things are spoken of thee, O city of God, Selah. I will make mention of Rahab and Babylon to them that know me. Behold, Philistia, Tyre, Ethiopia. This man was born there. And of Zion it shall be said, this and that was born in her. And the highest himself shall establish her. The Lord shall count when he written up the people, that this man was born there, Selah. As well the singers as the players on the instrument shall be there. All my springs are in thee. Isn't that so awesome? Now, the focus thought that we'll be focusing on today is going to be Psalms 87, verse number 5. And of Zion it shall be said, this and that was born in her, and the highest himself shall establish her. Now, let's take a look at the scripture on today in our references. Psalms 84 is a liturgy combining the properties of both a psalm and a song. Its abrupt commencement make it appear to be a stanza or a portion of a longer, larger psalm. The time and the circumstances surrounding the writing of this psalm is unknown. It is part of the third book of praises, officially adopted into the canons of scripture during the reign of Josiah, which it was written by Korah. Now, let's take a moment here and take a closer look at the psalms here and is how it was constructed or put together. Our book of Psalms was originally five separate scrolls, or five books called the Books of Praise. Most early translation kept the five books separated. You had the Greek, you had the Latin Vulgate, and then you had the Syriac, and then the Chaldean, and the Arabic, and then the Ethiopian translation. The first book of the praise consists of Psalms 1 to Psalms 41. The original book compiled by David and or Solomon. Now, the second book of praises is Psalms 42 to 72, added during the reign of Hezekiah with the psalm by David and Korah. Number three, the third book of praise is Psalms 73 to 89, added during the reign of Josiah with many psalms by Asaph. The fourth book of praises is Psalms 92-106, compiled during or after the captivity and added during the time of Isaiah and Ezra and Nehemiah. Now, the fifth book of praises is the books that are consisted of Psalms 107 to 150, also added after the captivity in the times of Ezra and Nehemiah. So here you have the construct of the book of Psalms, or in other it's called the book of praises. We have the five books. Now let's take a look further. Now, the obvious purpose of Psalms 87 was to extol Zion. The name Zion in a broad sense identified the city of Jerusalem. In latter years, the name Zion applied specifically to the southwestern hills of the old city of Jerusalem, the area including Joppa's Gate, the Tower of David, the Citadel, Armenian quarters, David's tomb, and the upper room. But originally, Zion was first used of the old Jebusites fortress on the eastern ridge, now called Mount Moriah, wherein is the Temple Mount. In the Bible, Zion referred to the whole of Jerusalem. Most commentators consider this psalm prophetic. Through the exact time of the writing and of the psalmist unknown, it was obviously written long before many of the events that made Jerusalem a great city. But the prophetic nature of this psalm goes far beyond the future of the city, earthly city of Jerusalem. It pictures the church and the New Testament kingdom of God, as well as pointing to the future holy city of Zion. The name Zion often is used in a spiritual sense. Anywhere in Scripture, that Zion can be applied metaphorically. It is a type of the church. So when you hear the word Zion, it is metaphorically used, but it is a type of the church. Now, let's look at the foundation, Psalms 87 and 1. His foundation is in the holy mountain, the foundation laid by God. The city of God is built on a sure foundation, God himself. The foundation of a building are buried and seldom seen, yet they are the most important part of any edifice. The whole structure stands or falls depending on the foundation. Foundations are vital, see Psalms 11, verse number three. Nevertheless, the foundation of God stands sure, having this seal, that the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity, 2 Timothy 2 and 19. The church is built on the foundation of the apostle and the prophet, with Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. Now, let's take a look at the word of God over at Ephesians 9, verses 19 and 22 through 22 states, Now, therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostle and prophet, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are built together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. Now, let's look at another scripture. 1 Corinthians 3, verses 10 through 16. According to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon, for other's foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work for what sort it is. If any man's work abides which he hath built thereon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? And so here we find the scripture is giving and laying out the foundation and giving us a greater understanding of scope of what the Lord in mind had regarding the foundation. Now let's take a look here. The foundation stones of the church include the basic doctrine, the belief of the apostle. So here's the foundational stone, is the basic doctrine and the belief of the apostles. The writers of Hebrew in one passage list six of these foundational doctrines, Hebrew 6, 1 through 2. A person's spiritual foundation gives stability to his life. If he is to live successful spiritual life, he must build his life on an unshakable foundation, not on the sifting sands of this world philosophy. Now, let's take a further look, and let's take a look at the scripture. Luke 6, verses 47 to 49. Let's take a look here. It said, whosoever cometh to me and heareth my saying and doeth them, I will show you to him he is like. He is like a man which built an house and dig deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the streams beat vehemently upon the house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon the rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation buildeth an house upon the earth, against which the streams did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. Luke 6, verses 47 to 49. Now, let's look, children of God. It is imperative for you to recognize and understand how you building that foundation. Is it upon the doctrine and the belief of the apostle? Or is it upon the philosophy of men? We must recognize that and look well into the matter, because it is key that when the streams come and the vehement wind come up against your foundation, will it continue to stand? And that is key. Now, let's look. We've looked at God, how he laid the foundation. It is God that laid the foundation. It is God that laid the apostolic mandate out for the foundation. Now let's take a look. The holy mountains, chosen by God as the seat of his sanctuary, the hills of Jerusalem comprise a sanctified setting. These limestones and marble Judean hills, raised at 2,500 feet above sea level, almost 4,000 feet below the deep Jordan Valley, just east of the Dead Sea. Now, let's take a look at Psalms 125, verses 1 through 2. They that trust in the Lord shall be at Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abide forever. As the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is round about his people from henceforth, even forever. It is not clear why Jerusalem's location is so special. The local geographical revealed no spectacular features that would elevate this area to fame or prominence. The site was not only on any major highway, trade routes, river, or seaport. Except for building stones, the area has few natural resources, mines, or industry, or commercial activity, even to this day. But God chose this small, insignificant village and elevated it to the highest honor on earth. Now, just let's stop right there. Now, it is God choosing. It is God's choice. And some of you who are listening, you may even feel as though that you are insignificant and that you have no relevancy and that you come from a place that was not of a promised place or a place of any high activity or a high profile background. But it is God who chooses. It is God's choice to take the small, insignificant thing and use it in an extraordinary way. God wants to do it. And God wants to use your life, child of God. Even though you feel that you're insignificant, it's not about that. It's about you yielding over into the hand of God, and God will set everything else in order. Today, though, still not a great monopolist, Jerusalem is the spiritual capital of the world. The Bible described it as the center of the world. All directions are given from Jerusalem. No matter what direction one travels to Jerusalem, he is said to be going up to Jerusalem. Anyone leaving the city always is described as going down from Jerusalem. Now, isn't that profound, child of God? Now, let's take a look deeper. The city of God, Psalms 87. Verses 2 and 3. The Lord loveth the gate of Zion more than all the dwellings of Jacob. Glorious things are spoken of thee, O city of God, Selah. Now, let's look here at the next point that we want to talk about is being loved by God. Now, the gates of any city was a busy place of activity. There, the judges held courts and merchants transact business. The picture in the mind of the psalmist was one of thronging multitude pressing into the city as they would do at the times of great feast or festival of the nation. God looked with great pleasure on such multitude thronging the gates, pressing in to worship him. Now, we must recognize, children of God, if I may stop there for just a moment. Sometimes worship does not come just so easily sometimes. But what happened is that we as children of God, just as in the days of old in Jerusalem, they will press or throng their way into the gates or into the festivals or the feasts that was going on. So sometimes in our lives, we may not feel like worshiping God. We may not feel like lifting up our holy hands unto the Lord our God. But I come to share with you, children of God, there come a time in your life that you're going to have to press into worship and press into God as you worship God and give him the praise and give him the glory and the honor. It is not an easy thing, but it is something that God is requiring for us as children of God to lift up holy hands and worship him. Now, recognizing that we go through circumstances and situations in our lives, but God is still looking for us as children of God to lift up our hands and press in and to worship him as never before. Now, let's take a look. At Mount Zion, hundreds of years before David conquered Jerusalem, God announced to Moses that he had a special chosen place. Its name and location were not revealed at the time, but the Lord promised that at appropriate time in the future, he would identify it. That special place was Jerusalem. Now, let's look at Deuteronomy, and I'll read that in your hearing, chapter number 12, verses number 5 and verse 11. And you can write that down and perhaps look at it a little later and things, but I'll read it in your hearing. But unto the place which the Lord your God shall choose out of all the tribes to put his name there, even unto his habitation shall ye seek, and thither thou shalt come. Then there shall be a place which the Lord your God shall choose to cause his name to dwell there. Thither shall ye bring all that I command you, your burnt offering, your sacrifices, your tithes, and your heave offering of your hands, and all your choice vows, which ye shall vow unto the Lord. Deuteronomy 12, verses 5 and verse 11. Throughout the 12th chapter of Deuteronomy, in all the six chapters, the Lord repeatedly referred to the place he had chosen, yet his identity was not revealed therein. Now, let's look further into Deuteronomy chapter number 12, verse 13 through 14. It reads, take heed to thyself, that thou shalt offer not thy burnt offering in every place that thou seest, but in the place which the Lord shall choose in one of thy tribes. There shall thy offer the burnt offering, and there shall thy do all that I command thee. 500 years later, about 1000 B.C., David conquered the city of Jerusalem from the Jebusites, established the capital of his kingdom, and reigned there for 30 years. He brought the Ark of the Covenant into Jerusalem. He also purchased a threshing floor, Amnah, to build an altar. This site was atop of the hill of Moriah, along the northern edge of the old Jebusite city. The same area was where Abraham was ready to offer his son Isaac as a sacrifice 1,500 years earlier. Now, David said, this is the house of the Lord, and this is the altar of the burnt offering of Israel. 1 Chronicles 22 and 1. David's proclamation identified for the first time the place the Lord has spoken of in Deuteronomy. So if you want to go back and look at 1 Chronicles chapter number 22, verses number 1, David commenced the first step to build a permanent house for the Lord. Since the day David established the tabernacle of David, David purposed to build an exceeding magnificent house for the Lord. Now, Nathan, the prophet, concurred in his desire to build a permanent house for the Lord, but informed David that he could not be the one to build it. However, David still gathered the material and charged his son Solomon to build the temple. Now, look how David was focused in on what God called him to do. He stayed focused into that. And so we as children of God, I encourage you to stay focused in on that which God has called you to do. Now, Abraham sojourned in the land of promise, for he looked for a city which had foundation, whose builder and maker is God. Hebrews 11, verse 9 through 10. So we today still are longing for a city, but now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly, where God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. Hebrews 11, verse number 16. Hebrews 12, verses 22 to 23 states, but ye are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the General Assembly and the Church of the Firstborn, which are written in heaven. Revelation 21, verses 2 and 3 states, "And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven. Prepare ye as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them, and they be their God." Now, Revelation 21, verses 10 and 11. "And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal." Now, the 21st chapter of the book of Revelation gives a marvelous description of the New Jerusalem. It is a city of gold with walls of jasper, 12,000 furlongs, four square, with 12 gates of pearls bearing the name of the 12 tribes of Israel. It has 12 foundations, each a single precious stone, with the names of the 12 apostles. It has streets of pure gold that are transparent as glass. Most of all, it will be a city without tears, death, sorrow, crying, or pain. Now, let's further take a look at Revelation chapter number 21, verses 24 through 27. It reads on this line, "And the nation of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the king of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it, and the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there, and they shall bring the glory and honor of the nation into it, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb book of life." Now, this here, children of God, now I want you to hear me and give me your attention, your undivided attention. This here passage of scripture is very, very key for the children of God. Nothing is going to defile the heaven. No lie, no abominational work is going to be in heaven. That's why it's key for us children of God to get it right now, to walk upright, to sanctify our lives, because God already sanctified us, and to keep ourselves holy and clean before God and getting it right as we move through here, because it is imperative for us as children of God to do the awesome work that he called us out to do. And so I send this charge out to you that as you strive to live holy and righteousness and upright before God, because the Bible says here, "And there shall in no wise enter into anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie," is going to enter in. So it's key for us children of God to strive to live holy and righteously every day in our thoughts, in our mind, in our spirit, and in our hearts before the Lord our God. Now, let's move forward to our next point. Admired by the world, the city of God have the attention of the whole world. Throughout history, Jerusalem has been the desire and envy of all nations. For this small city, many armies have marched. More wars have been fought. More campaigns have been launched than for any other place in the world. Even today, about 3,000 years, armies still are fighting over this city. Daily news headlines continually seemed to focus on Jerusalem. Solomon completed the temple around 960 BC as the one site for the entire world to worship the Lord, and he brought the daily sacrifice there. Ever since, Jerusalem has been at the world center of entrance. 5 years after the death of Solomon, Shakar of Egypt overtook Jerusalem and plunged the temple of its riches and gold. This would be just the first of many times the temple would be pillaged and dishonored during the next three centuries. Of the 20 kings after Solomon, several, like Josiah, Ahaz, Manasseh, and Queen Attalah, did great damage to the temple. Others, like Jehoshaphat, Jotham, Josiah, repaired and enhanced the temple. Other kings stripped the temple of its gold and valuables and sent them to appease the enemies, rulers of Assyria and Syria. Then, in three attacks, 606, 597, and 588 BC, Nebuchadnezzar destroyed the entire city and carried the people captive to Babylon. The enemy buried and burned the temple and completely broke down the walls. Since then, Jerusalem, the eternity city, has been besieged at least 40 times and destroyed, at least partially, 32 times. The city of peace was conquered and controlled by 26 different nations, empires, or armies. The Assyrian Empire, Babylon Emperor, Persian Empires, Egyptians, Greeks, Syrians, Romans, Ahab, and it goes on and on, all took their turns trying to control the city's destiny. In the future, the Antichrist cannot be satisfied with his control of the world until he entered Jerusalem to stop the sacrifice and worship. He will enter the temple to set himself up as God. 2 Thessalonians 2 and 4. The war of control of Jerusalem will climax in the great end time battle of Armageddon, as described by the prophet Zechariah. All the nations will be gathered against Jerusalem to battle. It will be in the midst of this war of all wars that the Lord will return to earth again, right at Jerusalem. Then in the millennium age, after the second coming of Christ, Jerusalem will be the capital of the world. Now, let's take a look here. It shall come to pass that everyone that is left of all the nations which come against Jerusalem shall even go up far from year to year to worship the King and the Lord of hosts and to keep the feast of the tabernacle. Zechariah 14 and 16. Now, let's look at another scripture. Isaiah chapter number 2, verses number 2 through verse 4. And it reads on this line. And it shall come to pass in the last day that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountain and shall be exalted above the hills. And all nations shall flow into it, and many people shall go and say, come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord and to the house of the Lord God of Jacob. And he will teach us of his way, and we shall walk in his path. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And he shall judge many among the nation and shall rebuke many people. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into human hooks. Nations shall not lift up swords against the nation, neither shall thou learn war anymore. And you'll find that over in Isaiah chapter number 2, verses 2 through 4. Now, let's look at another point as we starting to conclude this wonderful lesson, born again. Now, let's take a look at this. Psalms 87, verses 4 through 6 say, I will make mention of Rahab and Babylon to them that know me. Behold, Philistia, Tyre, and with Ethiopia. This man was born there, and of Zion it shall be said, this and that man was born in her, and the highest himself shall establish her. The Lord shall count when he writeth up the people that this man was born there, Selah. Now, let's take a look. Natural birth, and then we're going to look at the spiritual birth in the church. Now, let's focus first on the natural birth. Rahab, or Egypt, Babylon, Philistia, Tyre, and Ethiopia, or Cush, the Arabia, are listed as some of the best-known cities and nations of the world, as places where it would be regarded as an honor to be born there. No matter how great or distinguished the city of one's birth, the distinction of being born in Jerusalem is much greater honor. Now, let's take a look at the spiritual birth in the church. A closer look at the text revealed that this is not listing Egypt, Babylon, Philistia, Tyre, or Ethiopia as places to honor those born there. Instead, people from those places were rejoiced that they were born in Zion. In other words, people from these faraway places will claim Zion as their mother and birthplace. This indicates a second birth, a spiritual birth. It is not so important where you were born in this world. What really counts is if you were born in Zion, born again into the kingdom of God. Now, prophetically, these verses were also speaks of the church becoming home to Gentiles. People from all nations, races, tongues can rejoice that they have been born again in Zion and the kingdom of God's spiritual birthplace. Zion is a mother of the church. Zion is the mother city of the church. We do not look at Rome, Germany, England, or America for our roots. The church began in Jerusalem. The church was born on the day of Pentecost in an upper room on Mount Zion. Both Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of all, Galatians 4:26. Psalm 87:6 speaks of God counting and writing up the people. This is the language of a roll call, a consensus taker. In God's record, book of heaven, he is not so interested in where you were born naturally, but he does keep a record of where you were born spiritually into Zion. God's book record when and where you first repented, where you was baptized in Jesus' name and received with the Holy Ghost. What really matters the most is not what courthouse have your birth certificate on file, but whether or not God have a record of your birthplace in his kingdom or your birth into the kingdom of God. And so it is key, children of God, to be born again of water and of spirit, baptized in Jesus' name, filled with the precious gift of the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues as the Spirit of the Lord give utterance. That is the evidence that the Spirit of God has taken residence within your life, in your temple, in your heart, in your spirit, in your mind. That is key, and you must recognize that. And if you don't have clear understanding about it, call me, email me, write me, so that you can have all that God have intended regarding your plan of salvation. Now, the qualification of salvation. Now, let's look here. over in John 3, verses 1 through 7. Now, I want you to get this because this is giving you further understanding of what the Word is saying about your salvation and being born again. John 3, chapter 1, John chapter number 3, verses 1 through 7 states, "There was a man of the Pharisee named Nicodemus, a ruler of Jesus. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he can in no wise enter in unto the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again." That's John chapter number 3, verses number 1 through 7. Now, let's look further. John 3, verses number 9 and 10. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered and said unto him, "Art thou a master of Israel, and thou knowest not these things?" Jesus implied that a learned scholar of Scripture like Nicodemus should know something about spiritual birth. Maybe what Jesus had in mind was that these verses for our text, Psalms 87. Other Old Testament prophecy informed us that God will make a new covenant by which he will take out our old stony heart, give us a new heart of flesh, and put a new spirit, here it is, within us, and write his law in our heart. Ezekiel 11, verse 19 through 20. Ezekiel 36, verse 26-27, Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 31-34. Now, here it is in the Old Testament, speaking about the new spirit he was going to put within us. And so that spirit is the spirit of God that he was going to give and put us in us. And this is what Jesus was talking to Nicodemus about when he came to him by night. To be born again in Zion, the kingdom of God, it is a spiritual experience consisting of several steps. Number one, believing the gospel and the faith in the atonement of Jesus Christ. Number two, repentance and turning from the world of sin. Number three, water baptism in the name of Jesus Christ for remission of sin. Number four, receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking with other tongues. All of these steps are necessary to be truly born again. Now, let's look at the celebrating the privilege, Psalms 87 and 7. As well, the singers as the players on instruments shall be there, and all the springs are in thee. Now, let's take a look here. Praise and worship. Zion is a place of worship. Even today, people describe the nation of Israel saying, if you want a job in the industry, go to Haifa. If you want entertainment and nightlife, go to Tel Aviv. But if you want to study the word of God or worship God, go to Jerusalem. The first house of worship erected in Jerusalem was the tabernacle dated to the house of the to house the Ark of the Covenant. Worship at this tabernacle was characterized by singing, music, and worship. The Temple of Solomon combined the liturgy of the Tabernacle of Moses with the praises of the Tabernacle of David. Even ever since, Zion has resounded with praises and worship and prayer. Daily worship in the temple includes singing and choirs, accompanied by harps and the 10-string flute, with the occasional blast of the trumpet. During special festivals, the flute, a reed pipe, was added to the program. Let's look at Psalms 100, verses 1 through 4. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Enter into his gate with thanksgiving and into his court with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. We must bless his name. Now, let's take a look at another aspect. The springs of living water. The word rendered springs describes a place of fountain. In singing this psalm, this line is springs of Zion as the fountain of our salvation. The throne of God in Zion's temple is a source of living water that heals the land. Now, let's take a look at another part of the scripture. John chapter number 4, verses 9 through 15, in reference about this living water. Then said the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of him, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealing with the Samaritan. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knowest the gift of God, and who it is that said to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living waters. The woman said unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us wells, and drank there himself, and his children, and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto him, or her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him as a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman said unto him, sir, give me this water that I may thirst not, neither come hither to draw. John 4, verses 9 through 15. So he's talking about that living water that shall spring up within you. All my springs are in thee. Now, let's take a look at another scripture. John chapter number 7, verses number 37 through verse number 39. And we're going to look again here. In that the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living waters. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believed on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. John 7, verses 37 through 39. Now we know that Jesus has been glorified after his ascension and coming back and things and being with the people of God. And now he has poured out his Spirit upon all flesh, whosoever will, let them come. Now, let's take a look at the scripture. In concluding, the city of Jerusalem is a very special place, a place that has become the center of religion in the world, but is not special because of its location, resources, or geographic. It is special because it is chosen of God. Now, let's stop here for just a moment. Now, I don't care how small you may seem in your own eyes. Once God chose, put his hands upon and chosen something to be his blessing or to be his anointed, it doesn't matter how significant, how small you may be and things that other may be looking at you even down. It is God's choosing. Look at Jerusalem, and this is what a great example for us today of looking how small and minute Jerusalem is and how many people have come up against it and war against it and how it still stands because it is God's choice. Now, you are God's choice. And no matter how much people will come up and fight against you, it doesn't negate the fact that you're still God's choice. It doesn't negate the fact that you may seem as though you're small and insignificant. It doesn't negate the fact that God has chosen you, that God has laid his hand on you, that God is calling you for such a time as this. So it's up to you, child of God, to stay steadfast, like Jerusalem. It's still yet standing. Now, what we have to do is be committed, to be focused, to be loyal to the things that God has given unto us. So many times we find people that are not focused or not committed to that which God has given. If God has planted you in that house of God, that place where he have you at, anchor down, focus in, put your heart and your mind around what God is doing with your life right there and move forward. What's happening is that sometimes people have so many focus, and they must focus in on what God is calling you to do. If God's calling you in that place, be there, work there, help build the ministry, help build. Because guess what? Your vision and your dream is in that vineyard that God has planted you in. And he will birth it out as you be consistent. You may be just being consistent, being that Sunday school person, being there, being available to do the work. And from that, God will unfold everything else that needs to happen. Don't look around because everybody else is not being faithful. It's not about everybody. It's about you or what you're doing. And when we can individually and collectively come together as the body of Christ, then God can bless. Now, it doesn't matter who's falling by the wayside. It doesn't matter who God is purging out with his fan. It's a matter about you. What are you doing as being faithful to the things that which God has called you to do? It is amazing that such small, seemingly insignificant place in the world could garner such worldwide attention. So it is. God made it special because of his role would play leading up to and at the time of the birth of his church. Today, even to this day, it matters little in what place a person is born. What matters most is that they are born again. It is no wonder that Zion, the city of Jerusalem, is such an important place. It's hosted the beginning of the new birth experience. In that sense, everyone ought to visit Jerusalem sometime during their life on earth, for it is the only pathway to heaven, eternal life in the new Jerusalem. And what it means by being born again of water and of spirit is vital for the children of God. Now, what we have done, we talked about being born in Zion. We talked about the foundation, how that the foundation is laid by God. Then we went on and we talked about the holy mountains, and then also the city of God. The Lord loveth the gates of Zion more than all the dwelling of Jacob. Glorious things are spoken of thee, O city of God, Selah. Then we went on and we talked about loved by God. And we talked about God's love and how God revealed unto David the place in which he would want the place to be the center focus of his name, of his worship. And that was in Jerusalem. It was where that the Jebusites was there in the city of Jerusalem, and David conquered that city from the Jebusites and established it as the capital of the kingdom and reigned there for over 33 years. Now, isn't that ironic? It reigned there for 33 years. And look how Jesus, his ministry lasted and things about 33 years. Now, he also brought the Ark of the Covenant into Jerusalem. He also purchased a threshing floor to build the altar there. This site was atop of the hill of Moriah along the northern edge of the old Jebusite city. It's the same area where Abraham was ready to offer his son Isaac as a sacrifice. Now look how God, look how everything is culminating, and how Jesus, even in God in his mind, has already established that to be so way back in Abraham's time when he offered up the sacrifice. And that was going to be the same spot where David conquered as the city of Jerusalem, or the city of David, the same place where the tabernacle of David was set that housed the Ark of the Covenant. See, God is doing something great in your life, child of God. But you got to hold fast to God and be steadfast and unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. God is bringing things full circle in your life. Now, the other thing that we talked about how Jerusalem is admired by the world. And then we also talked about how that Jerusalem have came up against great attack from many different foes that was fighting up against it, how it even stolen all of the gold and tried to destroy it. Even Nebuchadnezzar destroyed the entire city and there carried the people captive to Babylon, and how that the enemy burned the temple and completely destroyed the walls. And that's where we see Nehemiah coming on the scene. Because he recognized the city was without walls and the gates had been destroyed. And he went to the king and asked if he could have permission to go back and put the walls back up and put the gates back up. So see, we can see the progression of what God was doing. Now then, it began to key in and tie in to us where it was relevant, where us being born again of the water and of the spirit. He talked about the natural birth. Then we deeply dived into the fact about being born again of water and of spirit, and how over in Ezekiel, how it was prophesied that God was going to put his spirit within us. And so even we talked about Nicodemus, who went to Jesus by night. He was a ruler. He was a scholar, but he didn't have it all. He went to Jesus by night and asked of him, "What must I do to be born again?" He wanted to know. And then Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of spirit, he is no wise able to enter into the kingdom, even see the kingdom of God." And so here Jesus revealed and fulfilled the prophecy of the better thing to come, of being baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of your sin, filled up with the precious gift of the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues as the Spirit of the Lord give utterance. That is key for your salvation. Most first of all, you must repent of your sin, turn from them, be baptized in Jesus' name, and filled with the precious gift of the Holy Ghost. Then he went on talking about celebrating the privilege of the true worshiper that them in spirit and in truth, amen, and things can lift up their hands truly because they have been born again of the water and of the spirit. We talked about the Samaritan woman, the Samaritan experience, when Jesus had need to go into Samaria and go to the well of the Sychar, Jacob's well, and meet a woman there and tell her that she had had five husbands and even the one that she had was not hers, but she gave her life to the Lord and God gave her that water that she would not thirst again. And God wants to give you that same water that you will never thirst again. And then in Psalms 87 and 7, we find it talks about those springs of water in thee. There are springs of water that God will literally put inside of you, child of God, once you get filled with the Holy Ghost. Oh, the Holy Ghost is real, and the Holy Ghost is important for the children of God to have. Now, in my conclusion, I want you to know, being born of Zion is one of the greatest blessings. Being born again is vital for the child of God to be born again. It will be recorded in heaven the day that you have gotten baptized in the name of Jesus. It will be recorded in heaven the day that you got filled up with the precious gift of the Holy Ghost. And it is key, child of God, for us as never before to have our name written in the Lamb Book of Life. As never before, God will have it recorded. It says, what really matters the most is not what courthouse your birth record, birth certificate is on file, but whether or not God has recorded records of your birth into the kingdom of God. That is so key, child of God, as never before, that we must be born again of water and of spirit. I pray that God bless you. I pray that you have been strengthened in and through and by the power that's in the Holy Ghost. I pray that you will go down in the name of Jesus for the remission of sin, your sin, and be filled up with the precious gift of the Holy Ghost. Remember, in my closing, I want to say prophetically in your life, if you don't have it, God got it, and you're just one question away from your miracle. All you need to do is ask, and you shall receive. Knock, and the door shall be opened unto you. Seek, and ye shall find. And God will give you the glory, and will give the praise unto our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Lord, in thy name. Yeah.